WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano in Washington. As the second day of the government shutdown dawns, there are no public signs of progress toward ending it. Correspondent Caitlin Huey Byrne sees effects already sinking in.
Ariana, who didn't want us to share her last name, was furloughed from her job at the Department of Agriculture, where 40% of the staff were told to stay home. She's a veteran who served in Afghanistan.
I'm really hopeful that this shutdown doesn't last much longer, so that the, you know, civil servants can get back to serving the American people.
The shutdown is also likely to slow down air travel.
And about that, CBS News Chicago reporter Azul Reze is monitoring the situation from Chicago O'Hare Airport.
Those federal employees, of course, include TSA workers and air traffic controllers. They're required to show up as essential workers, though they'll be doing so starting today without any pay.
If enough of them can't show up, delays and possibly cancellations might result. Two Delta Airline planes clipped each other on a New York taxiway. Transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve has more.
CBS News producer was on that flight from Charlotte, said it had been an uneventful flight. They landed in LaGuardia. They were taxiing to the gate, and that's when they were struck by this other plane. It was a low-speed collision. No reports of any injuries to passengers. One report of a minor injury to a flight attendant.
A federal law enforcement task force of more than a dozen federal agencies has begun operations in Memphis. CBS News Homeland Security reporter Nicole Skanga is monitoring that situation.
What's happening in Memphis is different from what we saw play out in L.A. and what we're likely to see in Portland and Chicago. That's because those are targeted immigration enforcement operations bolstered by federalized National Guard. So far, this operation looks similar to what we saw on the streets here in Washington, D.C. last month. Highly visible hybrid law enforcement patrols making criminal and civil immigration arrests.
In President Trump's speech to American generals and admirals at Quantico the other day, he suggested the military use what he called dangerous cities for training. Democratic Senator and Navy combat veteran Mark Kelly told CBS Mornings he's got hopes as to how they will respond.
They're patriots. They understand the Constitution. So my hope is that at the appropriate time, somebody stands up and says, we're just not doing that. That's illegal.
Using high-tech equipment, rescuers have detected no more signs of life under the rubble of an Indonesian school that collapsed Monday. The head of the country's disaster mitigation agency said 59 people remain missing, with fears no more will be found. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 93.5 The Tap.
The Brewers on standby. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers waiting to find out who they'll play Saturday. Yesterday, the Padres beat the Cubs 3-0 to tie that series at one game apiece. I asked Brewers outfielder Jake Bowers, what's the team's chemistry like heading into the postseason?
We have guys who want to be in the room. We have guys who enjoy being around each other. Like I said, we have guys who want to have each other's backs. And I think when the mentality is to pick each other up instead of I'm going to be the guy, I think that's when good things happen.
NBA, the Bucks training camp getting underway. Head coach Doc Rivers was asked,
what's the biggest adjustment you want this team to embrace day one of camp?
To be committed how we want to play, because it's a change. You have to do it every day in practice. Everything's going to be harder. Conditioning has to be better. And so that's going to take a full commitment.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 93.5 The Tap.
This sunny, hot, summery weather is going to continue for a few more days. We are going to start to feel a little more like fall next week. But today, sunshine, we're talking highs back in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the endless wheel of litigation. Which Trump-related case are we going to talk about? Jim Santel, friend, colleague, host of Amicus, a law review, joins us. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Actor, writer, and my son, Joe Schwabe. Do you have a favorite one-hit wonder song, Joe?
I don't know. That's not great radio.
30
I'm
seconds.
Giving you right
what,
now. But,
what about What Does the Fox Say? We grew up kind of in the same era, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what is the Fox Say? Or Gundam Style?
Oh, those are terrible.
That's another one. Oh, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who gives edible undies as gifts just because they taste good, Pete Schwabe.
That's me in a nutshell, folks. I am Pete Schwabe. Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. It is a Wednesday night in the state of Wisconsin, and it was gorgeous again today. What is there not to be happy about? A beautiful day, some great showbiz talk, some current events, the final farmer's market here in downtown Green Bay. Well, I shouldn't say downtown Green Bay. I should say on Broadway. But apparently there's one that's going to happen. Do you know there was a farmer's market on Washington Street? I didn't even know that. It must be farther down.
Yeah, I didn't know.
And you live here.
I do.
You're in the hood. Great show tonight. Great to have you. Hope you had a great day. Whatever happened to you today, folks, put it behind you, good or bad, and let's have some fun. Let's talk about the things we love. Great movies, comedy, music. We got a lot of fun tonight on the show. We're going to talk about the Milwaukee Comedy Festival with my first guest, Greg Bach, at 6:35. Greg is a Civic Media colleague. He's the co-host of Matt and Air on Air that you can hear every day here on the network. They do a great job. Outstanding radio every day, thanks to Greg and Jane. He will be here. Greg is also a comedian and one of the founders. I don't know. Actually, I almost said he's one of the founders. I don't know that he's one of the founders of the Milwaukee Comedy Festival, but he is one of the producers of it. So we'll get all the information that you'll need if you're in the Milwaukee area for a really cool comedy contest. This has been happening for a couple decades now, and it looks like they've got some fantastic guests coming up. Patton Oswalt will be there this year. Did I ever tell you? Are you a Patton Oswalt fan?
You know, I recently watched a Netflix show that he was on, and it was actually quite funny.
Yeah.
But other than that, I haven't really seen his comedy style.
His stand-up is different. He's funny. I mean, he and I, when Jimmy Pardo got married, I was in his wedding party, and instead of doing like a bachelor party, they did a roast at this place in L.A., and Patton Oswalt and I were two of the roasters. I don't know why this is so funny, but he kept calling Jimmy Pardo Johnny Pardo. And that just floored me every time. He's a funny guy and a pretty good actor. He was on King of Queens. I know he was in Justified, but he's going to be at the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. We'll talk to Greg about that at 6:35. Always fun to have Greg on the show. Then my pal, Catherine Lake, who I said this Friday, we tried to get Catherine on Friday. I think she had a last minute scheduling conflict or phone issues or something. But Catherine is largely responsible. Or played a hand in, I should say, getting Nightlight on the air. So I'm always grateful for that. And I just like her so much anyway. She's a great person, and she will be here. Catherine manages WMDX in Madison for Civic Media and kind of oversees the John and Gordy Show. And they are pals of mine as well. Catherine will be here at 7:05 to give us details, what little we know so far, of the Godfather of Green Bay screening in Madison, December 4th. That is going to be for a great cause, folks. I don't think we've zeroed in on exactly what the cause is yet, but it's not Conrad's walking around money. It will be for a good cause. So we'll do that at 7:05. Catherine will be here. We'll discuss that and give you more details. throughout the next few weeks as they come in. That's going to be fun. And it's going to be at the Atwood Music Hall, the brand new Atwood Music Hall. Very excited to see that. I've never even been inside that, so I'm excited to be part of that and show the film there. I have not screened that film in many years. And then at 7:35, okay, so we start in Milwaukee, we go to Madison, then we come up here to Northeast Wisconsin, and our pal Dan Davies will be here. He's going to have a special guest with him, too, which will be fun. And they're going to be talking about independent film awards in Northeast Wisconsin. Michael Seibel is the director who's going to be with them. They're giving Michael Seibel a Lifetime Achievement Award at the NIFA Awards. It's the National Independent Film Association Awards. It takes place in Appleton October 4th. That's this weekend. So Michael and Dan will be here at 7:35. Dan's always fun, and it'll be great to meet Michael. So there you go. Four kick-ass guests on tonight's Wednesday edition of Nightlight. Conrad Krieger is working the board furiously right now, folks. How you doing, buddy?
Well, I like that intro there.
That you're furiously working the board.
I feel like I do that every night, right?
It's the only way to do it, really.
Exactly.
I mean, you bring it. You bring the A game. Cubs have a split now. They're 1-1, yeah. So
that's going to be a great game tomorrow.
So what did you? Was it three games or five?
I can't. Three games.
It's three. So did they do yesterday Wrigley, today San Diego?
No, it's since the Cubs had a better record, they get all home field advantage for the wild card.
Oh my God, that's huge.
Yeah, that's why it's back to back to back. It's three games in a row.
I was wondering about that today. I'm like, that doesn't make sense that they would fly all the way to San Diego to play a home game. So that's a huge disadvantage.
Oh, yeah.
But they're still 1-1. So who knows if this freeway series will happen or not. We'll see.
Yep. And it just, if you haven't watched MLB playoffs yet, do yourself a favor and watch because it's electric right now.
It's pretty exciting. I have not watched one inning of it so far, and it's my team that's playing. I know, I just couldn't,
And it said, like, two.
It's perfect. I mean, it could not be on at a better time. I just have so much to do, I can't keep up. So.
You're just not serious enough about them.
Serious about it. I will say there is a bit of a letdown. After 2016, and that huge long wait of 110 years, it's kind of like...
Yeah, all right.
I mean, I'm still excited about it, but it's not going to top that. I feel like that was the apex.
Well, now you just got to wait for the Bears to win another one.
Well, the way they're going, although they look better now, but I hope I didn't have to wait 112 years for that. My grandpa lived his whole life and never saw the Cubs win a championship. So, although the Brewers, look, the Brewers, you know.
They haven't won.
They haven't won either. So that would be pretty
That would be the
pretty sweet
be
for
my,
our state.
The greatest feeling I've had for a sports team.
Where, if you had to pick a Wisconsin team.
The Brewers.
Over the Packers, even.
Well, I guess for me, because I've seen the Packers win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And, I mean, I was only like 11, but still, it was really cool.
But is that why? Like,
if neither
of them had won a championship, who's your favorite Wisconsin team?
Oh, well, I would say the Packers.
The Packers, okay. The Packers have won two. Well, I mean, just, in the last.
It's just because I'm a huge football fan. I like football more than baseball. So.
You know how I can tell you're a huge football fan?
Why is that?
Because you say football.
Football. Football.
Most of my favorite hosts when I'm listening to my sports podcast. The National Football League. It's not just the T isn't even in there. So I could tell you're a big fan. I'm trying to find the text we got last night. We had kind of a fun question last night. It was, when you think of a mediocre sitcom, what show comes to mind? And my friend Alan Martin, I didn't see this till late last night, but Friends. Very controversial. I thought Friends was funny. I mean, it was weird because it took me a couple of years to warm up to that show because they were so cuddly and fuzzy and it just drove me. I didn't like it. I tuned out the comedy because it was so annoying. But then the writing just shone through and it was a very funny show. I became a huge fan.
It's like probably like my fourth favorite, I'd say, shows.
How I Met Your.
Yep.
Then what?
The Office.
The Office. Okay. Then.
I would say WandaVision, but...
No kidding.
It was a top viewing experience for me.
Wow.
If you don't know, WandaVision is in Marvel, and it's like, it goes through every single decade of TV, every episode. It's so cool.
All right. I'll give it a look. So where are you? And you just watched the you were watching The Office right after we got on the air here.
Well, remember how addicted I got to that instantly? It's just that dry comedy just gets me. It was so funny.
You haven't taken to Seinfeld quite the way you did to The Office.
No, I'll say I'm enjoying Seinfeld, but it is hard to binge it like I did The Office or How I Met Your Mother.
Where are you now in Seinfeld?
Season 3.
Okay, that's a good season. Season 4, maybe the greatest season of television ever.
Because
the whole season happens and then they call the whole season back. And it's the whole season is about the making of the show Seinfeld. They do a pitch to NBC, Jerry and George, kind of like modeling it after their real experience with Jerry and Larry David. It's just, I've never seen a TV season like that. So stick with it. I'm glad you're digging it.
Yeah, I think my favorite episode so far is the one where the apartment one.
What's that one?
Where George and I can't think of the girl's name again. What?
Elaine.
Elaine, thank you. Where she wants a new apartment. George is moving out.
Oh, yeah.
And then it goes to another person after it at the end. And they get invited to the housewarming party because they got the apartment for them.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to say the one where Elaine was going to move into Jerry's building.
That's what I think it was. Yeah. No, not that one. Oh, yeah. Okay. Jerry was going to get a new apartment. Yes, that's how it went.
Yeah, and then there was like a rock band playing at the end of it.
Yeah, that's how it is.
Okay. Season 3 is great, too. I almost like, have you seen the one yet where George is dating the woman and he leaves a horrible message on her answering machine and they try to steal it back?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever laughed. It's hard. That and when Elaine is yelling Stella and takes the muscle relaxers is just brilliant. So anyway, I think it's time we got to get to our Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Are you ready for this, Con?
I am.
What celebrity has the worst hair? What celebrity has the worst hair? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the app. Very easy to do, and you're going to need the app anyway to play our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win multi-state contest. I'm going to give you details about that soon. We only have a few more nights left of the Text to Win contest, but you'll need the app. The app is a great way to get a hold of us here. Text line is fine, and if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X, you can drop us a stream comment there and let us know who you think has the worst hair. What celebrity has the worst hair? It's funny because my initial reaction, and I didn't put this on social media, was Boris Johnson. He was the prime minister of the UK, and he has really bad hair, but intentionally bad. He's trying to brand himself. It's very obvious. And he just looks like a meatball. So that was my initial thought. I did not go. I went with Bon Jovi because I think Bon Jovi, he's one of those guys. Like, if you're a metrosexual, just own it. You know, if you're really into your appearance and how you look and everything's got to be perfect. Like, the people that have kind of driven me the most crazy are the ones who go to painstaking efforts to make themselves look like they don't care about their appearance. They've got rips in their jeans, but the rips were put there by Calvin Klein. It's not from bad hygiene or rolling around with a dog.
Bear attack.
Yeah, that would be cooler. And I knew this guy once, he would spend 2 hours on his hair to get it to look messy. And I feel like that's what Bon Jovi does. And it looks very 80s. I've totally soured on their music over the last few years. I just don't need it. They got some good tunes. I know there's a lot of Bon Jovi fans out there. I say Bon Jovi. Conrad said Russell Brand.
Yeah, you know, his hair just looks like it smells.
He just seems like a dirty guy.
It looks like he just was like, all right, I'm just going to grow out my hair, and that's his hairstyle for the past 40 years.
Hey, what is he doing? Cut that. All right, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. That's our question of the night. Let us know. Be part of the fun, folks. And when we come back after this very short break, I'm going to tell you about my experience with a wasp. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you Sally Flores, organizing director for the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition?
So you're okay with undermining the will of the voter? Great. Just do you see how terrible that sounds? And when I translate gerrymandering to Spanish, it just means manipulating election results. That's exactly what gerrymandering is. But in Spanish, the wow effect, oh my God, even in the U.S., manipulates election results. And I was like, yes. And they have a fancy word for it. They've covered it up with almost unimaginable words.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
He joins us every Friday at this time for some recombobulation. He is also Civic Media's political editor. Dan Schaefer is here.
Tom Tiffany has made it official. He is running for governor. I think he is a Trump endorsement and a strong fundraising quarter away from clearing the field.
Well, but Tony Weed has endorsed him, which is like being Trump adjacent.
It's like the transitive property of endorsements.
Yes.
The 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, only just sad.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me, folks. A gorgeous Wednesday here in the state of Wisconsin. We are broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. And just digging this evening. It is a beautiful night. So today, I'm sitting on my porch. I usually start my day with a cup of Joe. Sitting there listening to the various tools being used in the neighborhood, leaf blowers, chainsaws. It's always something different where I live. Slightly rural, but it's in the city. And every morning, there's like one wasp that hasn't died yet or something. And it finds me. And I always go back to someone saying, well, don't swat it. You'll just make it mad and it'll bite you.
Bite.
So I try to do, or sting, whatever. So I try I try to ignore it. It does not go away. This thing is like persistent. And today it landed just next to my neck. So I flipped out. Like I completely turned into a spaz because it's not supposed to land on you. And I don't know whoever started that whole, oh, don't swat a wasp. Just let it be. Well, okay, it's going to sting my jugular. But I'm going to listen to this person from the 1970s. And I just, when I swat it, they go away. But today I was like, all right, I'm going to try just to absorb this and see what happens. It was terrifying.
Yeah. I'm not a bee fan over here.
Me either. And I've been stung enough to know I don't react. You know, I feel a pinch. Like one time I had a chain on because I was that guy.
Yeah.
In the 80s. And I was on the subway, and I thought that one of my chest hairs got caught in the chain, and I started moving it around. Next thing you know, I'm holding the wasp, and it bit my finger, too. And it stings, but it's not horrible. I'd rather be stung, but, like, your neck. You don't want to get a wasp sting in your neck.
You know, one time I stepped on one, and it stung right under my big toe. That kind of that didn't feel great.
That cut into your 40 time.
Yeah, yeah, I would say so.
That was horrible, though. So, hey, you're watching this show.
Yeah.
I cannot leave the Dexterverse. I'm watching Dexter Resurrection. I need a Lisa Hale fix so we can discuss this, but I haven't moved on from, I watched last week tonight, a little bit of Bill Maher a few nights ago, but other than that, it's just Dexter. I'm consumed.
You know, I am watching Chad Powers.
Yeah.
And it's a new show based.
Glenn Powell.
Yep. It's based on a little skit that Eli Manning did where he went to a college, you know, dressed, he put on, you know, makeup and all that stuff to disguise himself. And he tried out for the team and was Eli Manning. So obviously he's playing good. The guys were like, who was,
you know? Oh, I remember that.
So
that's
based
what
on,
that show is based on?
Yeah. Well, kind of. That's, you know, they made it into a show. And Glenn Powell plays this guy named Russ Holiday, who played for Oregon, and he was, you know, in the national championship, was gonna win, but he celebrated too early at the one, threw the ball.
Oh, that is gorgeous.
And then they were facing Georgia, took it back and ran it for a touchdown to win the national championship.
Oh my God, live with that the rest of your life.
I mean, that's what he, because he's looking, he's like, what just happened? Because he was celebrating in the end zone, looks over, and it's a touchdown for Georgia. And let's just say the comedy is pretty funny. The story's a little weird. But after that, he's watching the Georgia player run it, and this guy goes, hey, Russ, I still love you. Can you sign my kid's ball
college
after
player?
That? Yeah. And the guy goes, and Glenn's character goes, no. Guy keeps bugging him, so he turns around and knocks him. And it's all on TV, you know.
Is that a true story?
No.
Okay.
No, it's just in the, you know, in Chad Powers. So that's, and then 8 years later, he's trying to be a football player again. He thinks he's going to the XFL. Contract gets canceled. Hears that a local college is doing tryouts because their quarterback went down. So his dad works prosthetics for Hollywood. So he puts on makeup. And goes to try out. No one knows it's Russ Holiday.
And the same thing happens. He gets the ball. It just looked like it was trying so hard to be funny. But I'll give it a shot. But it's not getting great reviews. It's okay.
The story is not. It's weird. You know, it's like.
It's based on an Eli Manning skit. I mean.
But the comedy is there. There's some parts where I actually laughed. Okay. I wasn't expecting to laugh.
56% on Rotten Tomatoes from critics. 57% audience. So.
Yeah, I could see definitely.
Well, that's interesting.
Just give it a watch.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you got Hulu, you're going to have to suffer through all those ads.
I don't ever watch anything on Hulu. It's crazy.
Every single, like, 8 minutes, there's 2 minutes of ads.
Who did you send me a picture? Is that Gene Cady, the former Purdue coach?
Well, there's a text that came in that said that.
All right, let's go to that text. I got to find out who. This is bad hair. Wow. That's a bad hair piece. Where are her text? I can't find. I'm totally discombobulated. On the stream, Dave says, Carrot Top.
Yep. Definitely.
Dave doesn't like the gingers, apparently. And Kathy Griffin. Ah, yeah. Keeping in the... Kathy Griffin. That's interesting. She just kind of has... Well, they both have really red hair. But Kathy Griffin just has kind of bushy... I never thought about her hair. Carrot Top is blatantly... I don't know what's going on there. Edward from the 414 says, Gene Cady, old Purdue basketball coach. Yeah, awful comb over. Conrad shared it. Put that in there. There you go. He one time blew snot during a game. It was so disgusting. He was yelling at a player, and something came out of his nose and landed on his chin. And it looked like, I mean, talk about a prosthetic. It was like swinging around while he was yelling. It was so disgusting. It almost made me not a college basketball fan. It was so gross. And that's Gene Cady. That's the first thing. His hair is the second thing I think about. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, Fred Flintstone, schwabba-dabba-doo. That's right, baby. Thank you, Tyler. Sydney Politics, Dave's stream friend, says, I don't know who that is. We're going to Google that, and I'll read it when we come back. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. We're coming back with Greg Bach, and we're talking Milwaukee Comedy Festival. That's next on Nightlight, folks. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
CBS News Brief. As the government shutdown enters day two, essential employees like air traffic controllers and TSA agents have to work without pay. Travelers at an Austin, Texas airport took note.
I did go a little earlier just thinking that the lines might have been a little longer.
I just feel bad for the workers that they're not going to get paid.
Back in Washington, Vice President J.D. Vance is warning about government employees losing their jobs.
If this thing drags on for another few days or, God forbid, another few weeks, we are going to have to lay people off. We're going to have to save money in some places so the essential services don't get turned off in other places.
A federal crime-fighting task force is on the streets of Memphis, as correspondent Nicole Valdez tells us.
Who we have seen here are members of at least 19 different agencies. That includes the FBI, ICE, the DEA, ATF, and more.
Attorney General Pam Bondi visited Memphis yesterday, announcing the force made over 50 arrests in 2 days. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
The Brewers on standby. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers waiting to find out who they'll play Saturday. Yesterday, the Padres beat the Cubs 3-0 to tie that series at one game apiece. I asked Brewers outfielder Jake Bowers, what's the team's chemistry like heading into the postseason?
We have guys who want to be in the room. We have guys who enjoy being around each other. Like I said, we have guys who want to have each other's backs. And I think when the mentality is to pick each other up instead of I'm going to be the guy, I think that's when good things happen.
NBA, the Bucks training camp getting underway. Head coach Doc Rivers was asked,
what's the biggest adjustment you want this team to embrace day one of camp?
To be committed how we want to play, because it's a change. You have to do it every day in practice. Everything's going to be harder. Conditioning has to be better. And so that's going to take a full commitment.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. After his recent suspension and then being put back on the air within a week, Jimmy Kimmel gave an emotional and hilarious monologue upon his return to Jimmy Kimmel Live. Not only was it highly rated on TV, Kimmel's monologue set a record on YouTube. The host's opening segment reached almost 18 million views on YouTube within 22 hours of being posted, making it the most watched monologue in the history of YouTube, according to Variety. A Wheel of Fortune contestant from Connecticut has won the biggest jackpot in the show's history at a little over $1 million. Christina Derevyanik told Ryan Seacrest that if she won the $1 million, she would put in her 2 weeks' notice at work, at which point Seacrest reminded her her boss was in the crowd. Derevyanik said she is going to pay off her student loans and buy a house with the money. She also won trips to Japan and Montana before winning $1 million. In addition to all that, she received a hug from the iconic Vanna White. You cannot put a price tag on that. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This sunny, hot, summery weather is going to continue for a few more days. We are going to start to feel a little more like fall next week. But today, sunshine, we're talking highs back in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 59.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved. And frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You know what I'm a sucker for at a Chinese buffet?
Crab rangoons.
Yep. I'll have about 4 or 5 of those things.
And they have cocktail weenies, which is a nice delicacy at the Chinese buffet.
You know, I'm trying to think of a buffet I went to that had cocktail weenies.
Who's eating that?
I don't know.
Even if you have a gourmet recipe at home, you're not making cocktail weenies. You're certainly not eating them when you go to the Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chicago-based comedian Vince Moranto, who will make the popcorn pick of the week and tell us about an upcoming Wisconsin date, and my pal Madison-based film critic Rob Thomas.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. Great to have you here on this Wednesday night. The last farmer's market in downtown on Broadway. I got to keep catching myself, yep. Conrad. I've never been to the farmer's market here.
I haven't either.
It's like $9 for an ear of corn. And you have to cook it yourself and there's no butter. How is that fun? It's not, folks. So we're going to bring the fun to make up for that lack of fun. And, oh, God. That was brutal. That might be the worst. Let's just move on. All right. This is exciting, though. Things are about to pick up because my pal Greg Bach is about to join us. He is a fellow host here at Civic Media. He is one of the co-hosts of Matinair on Air. He does every day with Jane Matinair. They do a great job talking current events. They'll make you laugh. They do it all. Greg is also a very funny comedian and one of the producers of the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. And he joins us now here on Nightlight over the stream. Hey, buddy.
Hey, my friends. How are you doing? Can you hear me?
We can hear you great. Did you get a haircut, Greg?
I did. I got a haircut, and I got rid of the beard, and yeah.
I'm not entirely sure that's Greg Bach, Conrad. Can you verify?
I think
You'll
that is Greg.
You'll never know.
The voice sounds real. Right. I trust you. Hey, buddy. It's great to have you here. You look outstanding.
Thanks. Thank you very much. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me this evening. I appreciate you.
My pleasure, and I think there needs to be more comedy. Anytime there's a festival or a fun show coming up, we have to talk about it. But before we get there, and maybe this is apropos because you just got a haircut, not saying you have bad hair, certainly, but what celebrity, Greg, our question tonight is, has the worst hair?
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. Gosh. What celebrity has the worst hair?
I say you could think about it for a while and we can come back to it. I said Bon Jovi, Russell.
Really?
You know, yeah, it looks like he spent 2 hours trying to make it look perfectly messy. It's annoying.
Oh, see, that doesn't sound like you don't. I think you're jealous of that hair, Pete Schwab. I don't think it's about the quality of his work. I think it's more about the impact, and you're jealous of his coif. And it is quaffed for 40 plus years, and it's always
that's
his
part
hair
of it.
Has stayed as relevant as his music has stayed relevant.
Well, we could argue that too. I don't think his music. I have jumped off the Bon Jovi train years ago. I just find it.
Oh boy! Welcome everyone to Pete Schwabba being brave.
Oh, but listen, I thought you
always
actually
speaking
were
truth to power.
I thought you were talking. I thought you were going to fight me on that for a minute there.
No.
Okay.
No. I understand the impact of Bon Jovi, and I understand that people love Bon Jovi, and you know they have a place in this world, and God bless them for doing what they wrote amazing songs that make you tap your toe
in the
and
80s.
Take you back to middle school dances, So I'm pro Bon Jovi, but I just don't listen to them anymore.
When you say Bon Jovi and I say Bon Jovi, are we talking about the same band? I just want to clarify that before. Okay.
I like feeling a little sassy. Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi.
You give love by the name.
He's a very handsome man. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. So we'll come back to you.
Yeah.
For
so
your
I'm going to keep that in the back of my noggin here, my brain box here, and try to think of a celebrity with the worst hair.
The other one, Greg, I had was Boris Johnson. That was a runner-up because that guy's just a clown. I mean, I don't know what he's doing with that hair.
Yeah, that is, it's ridiculous. The fact that anyone has ever taken him seriously is beyond me.
Correct. All right, Greg, so let's jump in. You've got this great comedy club. Now, did I read this correctly? Yeah. You're moving, right? Are you in the new space yet?
Not yet. We have not announced the new space yet. We're in the throes of movement and finding and negotiating and all the things, but we cannot announce anything yet because we do not have those details to put out to the world. As soon as we do, we will let everyone know. And the old space, we closed that in mid-June of this year, this past summer, I should say. And we've been looking for a new spot in Milwaukee because that is where we are a Milwaukee club, we're a Milwaukee company, because we're a Milwaukee comedy. And so, with more days that come, we will give more information.
Awesome. What is that old comedy cafe space on Brady Street still available? Is anything in there?
It's gone.
What do you mean gone? They knocked it down?
They knocked it down. There's an arcade there, arcade bar there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's just gone. Well, actually, I don't know if you knew this, but they were on Water Street just before, you know, if you know Milwaukee, they were on Water Street just before it became Brady. And then they moved to Old World Third.
I remember that.
Where it was a nice small room. It was really fun. I really liked that room. The only thing I didn't like is the back walls had mirrors along it. So while you were doing stand up, you were watching yourself do stand up, which was a little disconcerting. But then that one closed, I think, in 2018. And then, Joker's closed, I think, the following year. And that was it. We were bereft of comedy clubs in Milwaukee, the city. That is nuts. Yeah.
Wow.
For like a solid 2 years.
So what made you, not then the Laughing Tap appeared and then problem solved. So what made you want to do that? Like for a comic to do that, you know, that's a pretty big plunge, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it was the fact that we were already putting on shows around the area and we were, for a while, we were purposely putting on shows during the week so we didn't compete with the clubs. We didn't, you know, we understand everyone's got to make their money and we didn't want to try to hone in on anyone's territory. But as we kept doing more shows and the consistency of the clubs, like, and I shouldn't say consistency, but sometimes they'd be open, sometimes they'd be closed. So we'd start doing shows on weekends. Plus, some comics just can't do a Tuesday night. They want to do a Friday or a Saturday.
Right.
So finally just became part of the story of we will build a comedy club or we will open a comedy club in the next few years. And then it all got hit. The gas got hit hard because someone offered us a space. And in January of 2020, we opened the doors. In March of 2020, we closed the doors for 4 months.
Oh, man.
So,
well, I applaud you. I think that's so great. And I thought, you know, if I was ever going to own a business, I mean, what more fun could you have than owning a comedy? I'm sure it's got its headaches. I'm sure comics are difficult to deal with sometimes. But how much do you make a year, Greg, doing that?
I make exactly 32,000 laughs a year. And that's not counting taxes, which I pay. I pay my taxes, looking at you, most of Congress. And I will say this. One thing that we've talked about before amongst us who, you know, me and Caitlin and Matt, we are the three who run the club, is we've been very lucky to never work with any comics who have been massive headaches.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their personalities. You know this as well as anybody. Just because a comic's quiet doesn't mean they're mean or they're rude. They just might be quiet. A lot of comics are introverts. A lot of comics, when they get off stage, they're not about going to the bar and whooping it up. They want to go in the back room. They want to think about their show. They want to decompress. That being said, I can't think of a single comic who's walked through the room who we've ever said, cannot do this. They are too much personality, too much ego, too much, ugh, don't like that at all. Never again. We've been very lucky in that sense.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, you kind of can pursue the ones you want too. You
absolutely.
The people's reputation sometimes precedes them, you know, so. Mm-hmm. Well, that's outstanding. I look forward to the new space, even though I never made it into the old space. I will definitely.
No, Pete, would love you didn't.
Well, listen, I asked for, I said I could do a tight five, and you said no crowd work within that five, and I said I'll take a hike. I have my.
You have your, I've got my standards.
That's in my rider, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us about the comedy festival, Greg. It's, I believe it's this weekend, correct?
It starts unofficially starts on Monday with the Roast of Milwaukee, which is put on by Milwaukee Record. That's happening at the Cooperage, hosted by our friend Kristen Bry. And it's going to be Milwaukee comedians roasting Milwaukee like they have been. I think this is the eighth or ninth year. Very, very fun. Always a good time. Always making fun of the fun things about Milwaukee and suburban Wisconsin and things like that. And then Tuesday kicks off the official event with Aparna Nancherla, she's been in movies and TV shows. She has written a wonderful book. She will be opening the show at Lakefront Brewery on that Tuesday, next Tuesday, the 7th. And that show is creeping towards sold out. So if you want to go to that show, you want to get tickets sooner than later, you can do that by going to mkecomedyfest.com. And then the next night we're going to be back at the Cooperage with Sean Patton, who you've seen on all the late night shows. And his show, he's a co-star of the show English Teacher, which just premiered their second season last week on FX. He plays the gym teacher. He will be headlining the Cooperage that night on Wednesday, the 8th.
Beautiful.
And then on the 9th, actually, I'm gonna go to the 10th real quick. Friday, Shank Hall. Punky Johnson of Saturday Night Live, formerly of Saturday Night Live, will be headlining Shank Hall.
Love her.
On the 10th. I'm so excited to meet her and to watch her work. It's going to be a great time. That Shank Hall is one of the best rooms, one of the best non-comedy club rooms in the city or I've ever been to. It's just perfect for comedy. Intimate, quiet, low ceilings, dark, great staff. Always love working with Shank Hall. And then going back to Thursday, the 9th, we are working with our probably the biggest get. He is the reason why I do stand-up. We have Patton Oswalt. He will be headlining the Pabst Theater.
Oh, nice.
All those tickets, you can find links to those tickets at mkecomedyfest.com. And the thing is that all those shows will have comics on there from the fest, people who have been admitted in. They submitted. We've admitted them in. They are going to be part of it. And then throughout the weekend, Friday late night, two shows on Saturday, two shows on Sunday. And we talk more about that in a moment. But they're going to have a lot of great comics from all over the country doing shows, doing sets. But those are our big four headliners: Aparna Nancherla, Sean Patton, Punky Johnson, and of course Patton Oswalt.
That is an outstanding lineup. My guest is Greg Bach, folks. He is the co-host of Matt and Aaron Air that you can hear every day here on Civic Media on the network. And he's also a comedian and one of the producers of the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. And that's what we're talking about right now. I was telling you a story, Greg. I don't know Patton Oswalt. By the time I had moved to LA, all he had to do was go on stage. And I remember this vividly. And he went on stage and he said, "Matt Damon," and people erupted at the anticipation of what he was going to say. I'm like, this guy's a juggernaut, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was telling Conrad, my pal, Jimmy Pardo got married, and Patton and I were both on the roasting team. I don't know him, but he kept calling Jimmy Johnny Pardo, and it was the funniest thing. Like, by the eighth time he said Johnny Pardo, I was in stitches. He's a very funny guy.
He is. He's very funny.
And a good
he's
actor.
One of those comics. Very good actor, great writer. Knowledge of movies is wonderful. He's written a couple of great books I've read, and he is, like I said, the reason why I do stand up. He is my
number one
guy, and I'm going to do my best to be both a professional producer, which I always am, but also try not to fanboy out too much if I have the opportunity to meet him. And what I like about him so much is that he also grows. He is a man who is, I think, knocking on 60, and there's a lot of comics out there at his age could do whatever they want or do nothing, but he continues to grow in not only his comedy, but in his opinions of the world, and it's great to listen to him talk about that on stage and be funny at the same time.
That is a great point, because I remember, you remember the HBO Young Comedian specials?
Absolutely.
Sometimes they would have someone on there, and I'm like, well, that's a great point. I'm not really laughing. It's very rare that you can have a Bill Hicks or a Patton Oswalt. He's become that guy who can say really insightful stuff and be hilarious. Yeah. Greg, let's pick it up right there. We're going to do a really short break, and we'll come back and talk for a few more minutes with our pal Greg Bach about the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. We're coming right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power.
power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A step forward for clean energy in Wisconsin, the Public Service Commission has approved its first wind farm in 14 years. The Badger Hollow Wind Energy Center will be built in Iowa and Grant counties. At the same meeting, commissioners also approved a new solar farm in Walworth and Jefferson counties. It might be fall, but it sure doesn't feel like it. Some Wisconsin communities like Milwaukee have already seen record highs, and that's bad news for our fall colors. Experts with the Wisconsin State Climatology Office say warm fall nights mean more muted leaf colors. And yep, climate change is making our nights hotter and hotter. Right now on the Defender podcast, AI data centers are racing ahead in Wisconsin, but staggering energy and water demands raise serious questions. Tune in for an in-depth discussion on data center secrets at CleanWisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matner. You're a coffee drinker.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning for most of my career. Yeah. You need coffee. Something. Or a slap across the face or something. How much coffee do you drink a day? How many cups
not
of coffee?
Not as much as you might think. Maybe 2 16-ounce cups, more or less. Maybe not quite that much some days.
Zahmer, is that true?
I mean, from what I can verify, I don't know what he drinks in the privacy of his own home.
No right. One knows.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Great texts. Folks, keep those coming. Our question of the night is, what celebrity has the worst hair? I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. We will get to your text soon, and I will give you some more info on our Go for the Green and Gold text to win multi-state contest here at Civic Media. It's really fun. We've been having a blast with it. It goes through Friday. More details coming up in Act 2, and I will give you the keyword shortly after that as well. So stick around. Right now, we have a few more minutes with our pal, Greg Bach, who is one of the co-hosts of Matt and Air on Air every day here on the Civic Media Network from 9 to 11. And how are things going there? Are you and Jane still getting along, Greg?
Absolutely. We have a great time. It's really fun. I'm very, very lucky to be doing that show. I'm really lucky, honestly, when it comes to this network. And I'm not saying that because I know our overlords are listening.
But they're not listening. Really, come on.
It's radio is something I always wanted to do. I never thought there was going to be an opportunity, and then I received one opportunity, and then I made, like, more happened, and now I am where I am with the Matt and Aaron Aaron with Jane, who is a legend. I mean, all the time we hear people saying things like, you know, you're with Jane. I've been listening to her since I was a kid.
She's so great.
And then I don't tell her that, because then she's like, oh, people are calling me old. I'm like, take a compliment already, would you? But, yeah, I mean, it's great. We have a really great time. I think the show is great because we talk about important things, things that affect Wisconsinites, things that affect Americans, but then we also do know how to keep some lighter tones in there. We know how to poke fun at what needs to be poked fun at, revere and respect that needs respect, but we always want to make sure that for ourselves, as the people doing the job, it can be a lot looking at the news every single day and trying to decide what we want to talk about, but then trying to involve a bit of levity, if you will.
Absolutely. Greg is also a very accomplished stand-up comedian and comedy club owner. The Milwaukee Comedy Festival starts Monday, October 6th. They have a great lineup. Patton Oswalt, Punky Johnson, Sean Patton and Aparna Nancherla. Am I saying that right, Greg?
Yes, you did. Good job.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Look at that. I'm getting better at this. So are you going to perform? Are you emceeing or doing anything? Can people see your act?
No, I don't perform during the fest. We you know, that's something that I hold very strongly for me. It's like I'm not against anyone. I'm not against producers performing in their own festivals if they'd like to.
Sure.
I, for myself, don't, because we have so few slots to begin with.
Right.
That every one that I may take is one less that a comic gets, and especially if they're traveling from around the country. It's just for me, and also to have to think about my set and then also go on and then put on the show and have, yeah. It's not apt for concentration and good performance. So I'd much rather just watch and then enjoy from that point of view.
Well said. Let me ask you this. Is there pressure? I mean, this festival's been around for many years, but you know, Milwaukee kind of has a reputation of the city of festivals. Is there pressure to put on like a great festival every year? Do you feel like you do that every year? Or do you ever feel like, oh, we could have, you know, the city's watching, right?
Well, I think that for us personally, like the pressure that we have is not coming from outside forces. It's from within the pressure we put upon ourselves to create the best festival possible with the best headliners and the best people from around the country, from around the world coming through, slotting the shows. I mean, I don't know your experience with producing shows, but putting together a show, in my opinion, is as much an art form as stand-up comedy can be as well, because you have to look at the show, you have to look at the time slot, you have to look at the people, you have to say, okay, these people complement each other, these people have the same style, so we don't want to put them either next to each other or even on the same show. It's about crafting a show and crafting a festival, and the pressure really comes from within. I mean, people have a good time. They have a great time.
Yeah.
And we get great notes and great words, and we have a lot of great reviews from people, both, you know, performers, producers, managers, agents, all the, you know, the only pressure I really ever feel is, can we do as well as we did the year before? Mm. And I can't think of a single festival we ever did where I said, let's never do that again. In fact, you know, we actually did a festival in 2020. We did the 14th and a half annual because it was much smaller, less people, less applicants, and we kept it very, very safe. But even that one was great because it knew what it was in the time we were living, and we were just trying to get out and have as much of good time as we could with masks and no vaccine. So
yeah,
the pressure always just comes from within. And then as soon as we're done, we're like, oh, and then for like 15 seconds, we're like, let's never do this again.
Wow. I can't even imagine. That does sound like a lot of pressure. Greg Bach is here. We're talking about the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. It starts Monday, coming up at 7:05. Catherine Lake will be here. The station manager of WMDX will be discussing a movie screening of one of my films in Madison. I'm excited about that. And then at 7:35, nice. Dan Davies and director Michael Seibel. Yeah, you going to come, Greg? They're showing a film I made.
I'll be to your movies more times than you've been to the Laughing Tap, Peep Schwabba.
I will come to the Laughing Tap as a show of good faith. I want to.
There you go.
I want to be there anyway. I'm sure you guys are going to have a great space. Before we let you go, Greg, we've got about a minute. Who makes you laugh? You're a savvy guy, probably a little jaded when it comes to comedy. Who's out there right now that really makes you laugh?
I mean, honestly, the people who make me laugh aren't even comedians sometimes, you know, or people that. Comedians make me laugh off stage privately. We're having a good time. But I would say someone who still makes me laugh to this day, who's performing. Oh God. Another one of those. I would say Kyle Kinane. Always makes me laugh. There's something about him that just sounds so conversational, but it's so brilliant the way he talks. And and then someone like my friend Maddie Field, who always makes me laugh when we're hanging out, and he's a great comedian, but he's even funnier off stage.
I like all these guys. You've had Kyle at the festival before. Love Todd Berry. Yeah. Brian Posehn, lovely guy. Mary Mack, she's been on the show. She's hilarious.
Guys. You have a lot of my friends are on your show.
Oh, well, hey, keep sending them. We love the comedians. Yeah. So it's...
Yeah, absolutely.
Greg, best of luck. Crush it with the festival. Keep us posted. And I really, truly cannot wait to see your new space. So keep me posted on that as well.
Will do, Pete. Thank you so much for having me tonight.
Okay, buddy. That's Greg Bach. Listen to Matt and Air on Air every day here on the network from 9 to 11. Such a great show. Greg is outstanding on the show, as is Jane. So We will wrap this up for intermission and be back for Act Two with Catherine Lake. And a key word awaits all of you folks. Do not go anywhere. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jumping on a fast train. Gotta go.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. This is day two of a government shutdown and no sign of an end in sight. Operations on Capitol Hill are on hold for the Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur. Last night on social media, President Trump urged Republicans to use the time to, quote, clear out dead wood, waste, and fraud. Vice President Vance.
We're not targeting federal agencies based on politics. We're targeting the people's government so that as much as possible of the essential services can continue to function.
The shutdown leaves hundreds of thousands of federal workers in limbo. Many have stopped spending. CBS News Sacramento Steve Large visited a local soul food restaurant.
Owner Cammy Johnson says 90% of her customers work at Travis Air Force Base and are no longer getting paid during the government shutdown. She says it feels like the COVID shutdown.
So if I can make it through the pandemic, I'm going to take out those resources and all the notes that